and gentlemen, it's now time for the Wrestling Is Cool podcast with your hosts, Santi and Sancho. And remember, wrestling is cool.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Wrestling Is Cool podcast, the coolest wrestling podcast on the planet. That's Sancho, and I'm in Tokyo right now, having a good old time, going around the city, Shibuya,
I hope you're having a good
some
time.
Good food. What?
You said, I hope you're having a good time.
Oh, I thought you said, I hope you're not having a good time. I'm like, that's freaking
mean.
Why
would I do that? Why would I do that? I hope you're having a good time.
You know? I hope I'm having a good time. We'll see. This is past, Santi. We are pre-recording this so that you guys still have an episode of the Wrestling Is Cool podcast in some way, shape, or form, some capacity. Obviously, there's going to be some give and takes here. We can't talk about the latest things going on. So we've come up with a more evergreen topic here.
I'll do my best to cover it on my own channels, and you would have your own channel still going on YouTube, but who knows what happens? What if a meteor hits? Bam, that's it.
Yeah, man. What if this is like my last video ever? Like, we'll schedule upload and that's it. It's over.
Wow.
Man, it's dark. Wow. That's great.
It's like when like Michael Scott leaving and just all of a sudden you're gone.
I did talk about this on the CVV podcast, where I'm considering uploading a video unlisted of me oiling up with all different kinds of oil. And the day that I pass away, my team releases it to the world. And then
why your team? You don't trust me to do it? I could do it.
You don't have access to my YouTube channel.
I'll find a way. I'll release it just out to the world. I'll upload it to the main frame.
You upload it to yourself, to your own channel, and put your face on the thumbnail?
The ultimate comeuppance.
Oh, well, folks, like I said, I'm on vacation. We're currently on the road. I think, if you're watching this on Patreon, a couple of days away from Crown Jewel. If you're watching this on YouTube, this is like the day before Crown Jewel. So whatever happens on Crown Jewel, hopefully it's pretty crazy. Hopefully it's exciting. But we decided to do a more evergreen topic so that you can sink your teeth into this show and not have it be bogged down by the current happenings in professional wrestling. So what we're going to do is we're going to go through the entire current active main roster, and we're going to give one prediction for every active WWE superstar to finish the year. One final 2025 prediction. And this episode will feature the stars of Monday Night Raw. Sancho, there is a decent amount of people, so we don't have to be like super in depth with everybody here, because I don't think that we're going to be going 2+ hours with these extra vacation episodes. But we can be the ones that require detail and depth. We can dive into detail and depth, but there's some like I don't think that we're going to have too much to say about. So you ready to start? We'll go in alphabetical order. All right.
Hi. Huh?
Let's start with. Hi. Adam Pearce. Do you have an immediate prediction for Adam Pearce?
Is it official? I would say my prediction is that he does get in the ring. He gets in the ring.
Define it. Like match, physical? Match. What are we thinking? Ooh.
Give me a match. This prediction within the year, like with 2026? Is that what we're assuming? Like just in general?
Oh, I was going to say, I was thinking just from now until the end of the year. So only a couple of months left. Yeah, that's because our 2026 predictions will be when we start the year. This is just like a final stretch, end of the road predictions.
Here. Okay. But let's just shoot for the moon then. He gets taken out. Someone takes him out.
I could see like the Vision maybe taking him out or something, right? Yeah. I really like definitely. That one. I think that he gets taken out, gets F5 by Brock Lesnar at some point this year. Brock Lesnar goes on a rampage on Monday Night Raw, maybe going after Cody Rhodes because they kind of hinted at that. And Cody has been appearing on SmackDown. Brock has a relationship with Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman's on Raw. I could absolutely see a world where Brock is going crazy. The security and WWE officials come out and he eats an F5 from Brock Lesnar at some point this year.
And then what ends up happening is Adam Pearce needs help, and who helps him? Nick Aldis. Nick Aldis and Adam Pearce versus Brock Lesnar. Boom. That's what's happening. That's the kind of predictions we're in, baby.
Gentlemen. AJ Styles. I'll go for this one. I think it'd be simple and easy to say that he just loses to John Cena at Crown Jewel. But I will predict that he does hold one title between now and the end of the year. I think I could see Dragon Lee and AJ Styles winning the tag titles. So I'm going to say tag champion.
Is it after that one performance of that sick move where they did the combo, the flip over into the Styles? Well,
they basically did it. Not only did they have tandem moves, they had a tandem promo. Like, you go and then I go.
Yeah.
So I'll say they win. He wins the tag titles.
Ultimately, I think he ends up in TNA in some sort of way, and they start building that out. I think it would be a great way. I know you would rather have a TNA guy beat Trick Williams, but I think AJ Styles being that person and returning to TNA kind of full-time-ish, and like you mentioned, being that laying down the foundation for TNA to be bought by WWE, I think you start putting AJ Styles on that track after John Cena. Maybe he says, you know what? After I beat John Cena, I'm going to go ahead and go back home, TNA. That's what we do.
Oh, maybe the nostalgia facing Cena makes him seek out more nostalgia, and that's how he ends up in TNA?
Yeah, he starts feeding on the nostalgia bug.
Akira Tozawa. This is one where like, okay, what can there be? I've got one, so I'll throw one out there in case you need time to think of one.
You have an Akira Tozawa prediction?
I think he loses a match to Becky Lynch. I think they put him in the ring with Becky Lynch and he loses.
With no offense.
Literally no offense. I think he loses to Becky Lynch.
So he challenges... the man challenges Tozawa to say, you're not man enough to face the man.
Yeah, with what's going on right now with Maxine Dupri and her kind of waiting for AJ Lee to return back, because that's kind of the next logical step for Becky Lynch. I think that she might have something deeper here with Tozawa and Maxine Dupri, and I think it'll lead to Becky Lynch versus Tozawa.
Do you think Becky Lynch loses to Maxine Dupri? I know AJ is the one that we all predict, but it wouldn't put it past WWE to put it on Maxine for like a hot second, for a hot potato moment, and then Becky Lynch just destroys Maxine.
Oh, you think there's a possibility she drops a title to Maxine? I don't think that.
For like a hot potato second, bro. Like a like the old Rey Mysterio. Congratulations, Maxine. You're the champion. Let's have a match tonight.
Okay, so what's your prediction for Tozawa?
I think Tozawa retires by the end of December.
Wow. He did kind of hint at that, actually, on Twitter. I think you're making a really great point.
No Otis. There's nothing for him to do right now. I mean, Otis was last seen at Triple Mania, dude.
Mm-hmm. He tweeted not that long ago, like, questioning, I don't know how much longer I can do this.
Tozawa did.
So you might actually be bang on. Like, I think he literally tweeted it out like 4 days ago. Like, I don't know how much longer I'm able to do this. So you might be onto something there, my friend. Maybe him and John Cena retire on the same night. Have you ever thought of that? Right? A little retirement send off for John Cena and Tozawa on the same night. Maybe John Cena and Tozawa is the retirement match. Crazy.
You just want the world to burn.
Just get a little bit spicier, a little bit hotter.
You're going to be so spicy, be like, I just spent $6,500 on this championship package for Tozawa versus John Cena match.
Dude, my voices in the air. I hear them loud and clear.
Tommy Invincible? Oh, dude.
All right.
I'd be hyped for that. I'd be like, we're going to an awesome direction. Go ahead.
Tell me about Asuka now. Give me a prediction for Asuka.
I'm enjoying the Kabuki face painted Asuka so much more. I think this is going to have some good legs. I know they're going to lose to Rhea, of course. I do predict Asuka getting back into the championship picture. And if I had it my way, she would start going after Stephanie Vaquer. But that's not going to happen. But I do predict Asuka will start hinting that she wants gold. How about that? Like she will start on that journey before December.
Okay. All right, I'll be really specific with this one.
Sure.
All right, really specific, because I look at what kind of shows we have. We have Crown Jewel, and we have War Games, right?
Mm-hmm.
In between there, a lot of people forget that there's a Saturday night's main event. I'm going to say Asuka challenges Stephanie Vaquer for the Women's World Championship at that show. I think Stephanie still wins, but it's probably a post-match beatdown. Kabuki Warriors taking out the champion, which brings Io and Rhea, and that's kind of what begins our catalyst to building the teams towards War Games. Because Asuka right now is at the point where, like, that's a believable contender. Let's put her going after the world title. So I'll be really specific with mine. Asuka, okay. Stephanie Vaquer, November 1st, I think it is. November 1st,
sounds about right.
Saturday night's main event. What do you think? Not bad, right? Not a bad prediction for that one.
I like that, and I just need something happening at the Women's War Games that's not like, your heels, wear baby faces, let's have a match.
Sure.
That was a problem last year.
If anything, for Austin Theory?
It's clear you can't have him return without dealing with Grayson Waller, right?
Dude, they burned that bridge, don't you feel? Like that, I feel like they nuked that bridge. Like, I don't think anyone cares to see Austin Theory go after Grayson Waller.
Is he hurt?
I have no clue. No, he is hurt. They did confirm that there was an injury, and that's the reason he was written off TV. So we might even be just simply trying to predict, does he return this year or not?
I don't think he returns by December, but I think it'd be interesting to have him at the Rumble, but I think he gets overshadowed by anything that happens at the Rumble this year. No, if he returns, it'd be like, oh, cool, Austin Theory's back, but it wouldn't be like, oh my God, Austin Theory's back type of vibe.
Yeah.
Which is a bummer.
Yeah, I'll keep mine simple. I don't think we see him for the rest of the year. I think that maybe he does return, but like you look at like Ilya Dragunov, for example, right? He's been ready to come back and they still aren't using him yet. Just because Austin Theory, all of a sudden, let's say he's good to go for November, like if they have nothing for him, he might still just not return or appear on TV. So I'm going to keep mine simple. I think we don't see him on TV for the rest of the year.
I think the interesting thing is that talent no longer gets paid by match or appearance now. They just get an overall salary, like the good old Mansoor let us know, the world knows. So I think that is going to be a factor that it's okay to keep him on ice for a while.
I agree. I think this one's an interesting one. I think there's a lot to talk about here. Bayley. So Bayley currently going through this split personality thing. I know you don't like it. But for me,
ESPN doesn't like it. Not just me saying it.
Everyone is saying it. I'm not loving this either. I still think there is potential in terms of where it could go. I'm intrigued at the very minimum. Here's my prediction for this, because I'm still just wondering, what the hell is this? Is this a feud between Bayley and Lyra, or is this a team up between Bayley and Lyra? Where like it's going to be like a dysfunctional team where like, I don't know which version of Bayley I get today. Yuck, yuck, yuck. Which kind of goes to what you were saying before, right? I do think it's going to be very surface level, one dimensional. I don't think that they're going to be diving into the pain that somebody that's dealing with split personality disorder would actually be dealing with. So my prediction is going to be between those two. I think this is not a feud or match between Bayley and Lyra. I think it's a team up.
I think we get the moment where Bayley does the McFoley and she does come out just straight up as Hugger Bayley. That's my prediction. Before December, before the new year, she's going to dress up completely head to toe as Hugger Bayley with the Hugger
entrance. So like with the wacky waving inflatable arm flailing tube and anything, you think we see the Hugger Bayley entrance music right down to the T? Would it make sense to then also get Karen Bayley entrance, Ding Dong Karen entrance?
We'll get the segment, the Ding Dong Karen segment. The show that she used to have.
I like it. Picasso.
And then harass Michael Cole some more.
Becky Lynch, one of the greatest of all time. And that's just not me saying it. It's not just her saying it. It's ESPN. Who else says it? Sports Illustrated? Bleacher Report?
Bleacher Report. Right. Yeah.
What are you thinking here? Becky Lynch.
I feel that Becky Lynch will start seeing the divide between her and the Vision and Seth Rollins. I think Seth Rollins is going to be a piece of crap husband and blame her for the loss because of her, the way that they're kind of building, how she's like swarming around him and constantly talking while he's trying to focus. I think she's going to be the fallout victim of that. And there's going to be a Seth Rollins crash out because he said, I need to beat him, Paul.
Ooh. What if he does win, but it's not because of the Vision, but Becky Lynch goes out there and helps, and that creates the rift? Like, I needed to beat him on my own, right?
There'd be a rift that happens. Again, Becky's like, I helped you. I'm supposed to help my husband.
That could be a pretty logical rift. I'll keep mine a bit simpler than that. I'm going to say that she will be part of the heel side of women's war games. Because I look at Kabuki Warriors, that's only two of them, right? They need to bring in more people, more names. And right now, in terms of a huge name that you could add to the heel side of things, it is Becky Lynch. So that'll be my prediction. She teams up with Asuka and Kairi on the heel side of war games.
You think they put Charlotte and Alexa in the face side? Just to pad like, out the people?
Maybe. Like face side, I could absolutely see it being like Rhea, Io, Stephanie Vaquer.
And Charlotte and Alexa.
Charlotte and Alexa would make sense, but I also think like if you have Becky Lynch in there, you could throw AJ Lee in there, but I don't want to see AJ Lee in that environment necessarily. So I do think Alexa and Charlotte make a lot of sense here because that could be our offshoot for tag team feuds, right? Between the champions and Kabuki Warriors somewhere down the line, or the champions versus Rhea and Io as well. So I like it. I like that actually. Wait.
Well, spoiler for them when we get to them.
Yes. Braun Breaker. This is an interesting one because like as very clear as his future is in terms of like being a future world champion, probably going to win Rumble. Main WrestleMania main eventer. I feel like his far future is guaranteed. It's his short term where like I don't really know what the short term brings for Braun Breaker. The only thing. I was going to say tag titles. What are you saying?
Judgment Day.
Yeah.
Got to be the Judgment Day.
I should have already happened. If I'm being honest with you, it should have already happened. They should have gone into Crown Jewel as tag champions.
It would have made so much more stakes for the Usos returning, going back for the gold. That would have been nice.
So, I mean, Bronson Reed is immediately after. Should we just say like same thing? Yeah. They win the tag titles, win it off of Judgment Day. Or do you have a babyface beat the Judgment Day and then feed that babyface to Braun and Bronson? What are you thinking?
I think it would be much okay. Then that's the Viking Raiders, then right? The Viking experience or whatever.
Could be. It could be Fraxium. Fraxium and them had a little thing. What if Fraxium would have gone wrong?
That's a lot. That's a lot of. We don't have enough time.
Fair. That is a lot of moving pieces for sure.
I mean, but they did do that thing where they did beat up Bronson Reed and Braun Breaker did beat up Fraxium, and they did have that match on SmackDown.
So. Yeah.
I see the path.
Yeah, I would like for them to go into War Games as champions, right? Like, oh my God, look at the Vision World Champion. Everyone's draped in gold.
The spikes.
Yeah, and then like Paul Heyman holding all three belts would be pretty hype. It would kind of bring back the days of Paul Heyman. And Becky's belt. Yeah, and Becky's belt. You're right. It would bring back like the days of like when Paul Heyman is carrying all the Bloodline gold, right? Don't hate it. Brutus Creed, and if you want, we can throw Chad Gable and Julius Creed in here.
And Ivy Nile?
Sorry, American what?
American Made? And Ivy Nile?
Yeah, oh yeah, and Ivy Nile. Let's just do American Made as a faction here.
Now, if I had it my way, I would have had a trios belt going out there, and that would have been perfect for them. I don't have my way. And it's interesting that we've started this podcast, I guess, early on during the Creed brothers, right? Remember, I'm having vivid conversations like, dude, they're too hot right out the gate.
Yeah.
They gave them the world. They beat DIY and they were just beating everybody. Like, what's going on? DIY was supposed to be that Triple H rehired type of rebooking type of vibe. And in comes the Creed brothers and just squirts the earth. And then all of a sudden, remember they did that Brutus bomb against Damian Priest and it botched it. And then now it's that and had nothing sense for them. I do feel like they go into the Americanoverse and they're going to be there for a while. I think if you mentioned it during the pod, Los Americanos versus Grande, Chad Gable's Americanos could be something as a fun offshoot little jaunt, a little junk foodie thing for Brutus Creed to do.
Yeah. I do think that is inevitable. I think the question is like, will the main member of American Made, Chad Gable, be back in time for this feud to start before the year is over? I think that's the big question. I would assume no. Like he had surgery and it wasn't that long ago in the grand scheme of things. So I'm concerned that Chad Gable is going to miss the whole year.
But Chad Gable is a freak of nature, man.
Yeah, he is a freak of nature. If anyone can come back early, it would be him. But I think my concern is if Chad Gable isn't fit to return this year, then do you even feature the rest of American Made at this point? Because they've been completely removed off of screen. No Ivy Nile, no Creed Brothers at all whatsoever. Basically, since Chad Gable has left the picture, they had him there for a couple of weeks in terms of like pointing at the new El Grande Americano, like, hey, who are you? Blah, 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 blah. But they've since kind of dialed back on that and we haven't seen them at all. So I'll keep mine to we don't see American Made for the rest of the year. I'll say that we don't see them for the rest of the year. I think we save them for the return of Chad Gable.
I have a prediction for Kathy Kelly.
Oh, okay. Tell me.
She will be poison misted at some point.
Ah, that's a good one. That's a good one. I like it. You know, I'm picking back and off of that one. If it happens, I'm taking credit for it.
Okay. I think the WWE is enjoying the idea of whoever gets poison misted just is misted throughout the whole night.
And just being, she just interviews people while being blue the entire time?
Because it's going to put Kathy Kelly over.
That's true.
She's a reporter. And it'll get Rhea Ripley a little more riled up because they're buddies.
Facts. Okay. Moving on here to CM Punk. One of the biggest names on this list here on Monday Night Raw, who, as of the making of this video, hasn't been featured on Monday Night Raw for half a month now. So we're kind of just waiting on the impending return of CM Punk. So, Sancho, I will predict that CM Punk, before the end of the year, gets one more world title opportunity against Seth Rollins. I know that we have War Games, but like I said, we also have two Saturday night's main events. I could see them running it there. Mostly because after that, like, I could see CM Punk being busy and Seth Rollins being busy because you got like Royal Rumble season. I think CM Punk gets one more crack at Seth Rollins before the end of the year. Seth Rollins, CM Punk, World Heavyweight title in a Saturday night's main event.
My prediction is CM Punk will host a Saturday Night Live.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah. Okay. What makes you think that? Like, what's making you...
It feels like Saturday Night Live is trying to get younger. And they're trying to get more eyeballs. For those of you who know, they have in the cast, Cam Patterson, who is a Kill Tony alumni, a Hall of Famer type of beat from the Kill Tony verse. And I think if that relationship continues where SNL is trying to find new comedians, they have a TikTok comedian, things like that. I think they're going to try to get some of the WWE reinvigorate that fan base by getting a CM Punk on there, letting him do his acting chops. I think that'd be a fun little jaunt for CM Punk. If he has nothing in the ring to do, let's keep him being the face of the company. I do also agree that he will be at Saturday's main event in December 13th in Washington, D.C. He will have a match there. Yeah. It's going to be a stacked card for John Cena's
final. I agree. Goodbye. I hope they do that card more like a PLE and it's not just 2 hours because they're not going to be on cable.
Give me three.
I'm down for that. Cruz del Toro, and by default,
why is he so big on this picture? Like,
I have no
he
idea.
Looks so massive.
He looks like a massive dude. For those that don't know, we're on the WWE.com like superstar section. Cruz del Toro. Do we want to throw in all of LWO on here, or do you want to just do Cruz del Toro and Joaquin Wilde? Because you could
do let's put LWO in.
All right, let's put LWO in
minus
there.
Ray, because clearly Ray doesn't give a damn about.
Yeah, he doesn't. he couldn't care two shits about the LWO. You got anything?
I think they go down to Triple Mania, AAA, and because after their last jaunt at Worlds Collide, where they wrestled as heels, I thought that was quite interesting. I think Cruz del Toro could benefit, and Joaquin could benefit from having a run in AAA. I thought they could. It's interesting. I never when I reviewed Worlds Collide in Vegas, I was like, wow, it's interesting to see LWO work heel. And it's interesting to see how much they've been kind of enjoying it. I think that to have them as a natural heel, being the outsiders from WWE going down to AAA, would do worlds of wonder for them. And they could get their proper reverence and due in terms of, you know, wrestle time, ring time down there in Mexico.
Okay. I'll piggyback off that and say that they win the tag titles in AAA. So in some capacity.
Did they beat Pagano and Psycho Clown?
I don't know, because Pagano and Psycho Clown are kind of dealing with the Wyatt Six right now. So,
oh, I know, right?
Which is pretty cool. Yeah, sure, whatever. I say that they beat Pagano and Psycho Clown. Why not? And Dragon Lee, I think, you know what? I'll piggyback off the AJ Styles one. He wins the tag titles in WWE with AJ. They're trying with Dragon Lee, right? He's featured every night. He just got mic time. They want to make this guy work.
He was so close to getting what during that mic time, though. He was like, there was like a little what's. I was like, please, no.
I was like, please, you know, pass the mic over. Let's just get this over and done with. Not that it was a bad promo. It was just like, right? And that those are usually again, the ones that lead to what?
Again, the biggest thing ever is Penta has cracked the code. He's like, he reminds me of a YouTuber that figured out the algorithm on accident. And you're like, how can we get Penta more like characters? Penta just says, I'm speaking Spanish and I don't give a damn. I'm not going to translate it. I'm just going to speak Spanish. And then that's it. You're going to hop on board and I'm going to say it with such force and velocity that you know that I'm talking a certain type of vibe. And no one else in the roster seemed to figure it out. It, like Stephanie Vaquette, I applaud her for learning English. And it has been very nice to hear her speak English more against the other roster talent like the Tiffany Strattons. But when she speaks Spanish and then she goes to English, I'm like, you don't have to do that. Just speak your promo in Spanish. And if you want to end it in English with a different line, that's fine. But don't be like a Ray. Don't do the typical thing that they have Latin American actors do in melodramas where they speak English and bilingual. It's like, don't do that. And I'm hoping that for Dragon Lee, they let unlock Dragon Lee. Just let him speak Spanish, man. Let the world. If Benny Bad Bunny going to be at the Super Bowl and going to just sing in Spanish, which I do believe they're going to talk about the Apple AirBuds or the auto translator. That's all part of the plan, brother. They're going to say, oh, you want to know what he's saying? Just pop in your AirBuds, brother.
True.
Then let LWO do what they do.
El Grande Americano. I have
whoa,
one here.
Whoa, sir.
What?
You are a Dom hater on my
shoot,
screen.
Sorry. I went to Dragon Lee.
Dominic Mysterio. There's a lot of evidence, Your Honor.
I don't hate Dom. I love Dom.
Dom hater. How dare you?
Look, I went to Cruz del Toro, then we started talking about Dragon Lee, so I went to Dragon Lee, and then the one after Dragon Lee is El Grande Americano, but you're right. After
the
Cruz del Toro was Dominic Mysterio. You're right.
On the page.
Okay, that is heinous what I did. What do you got for Dom?
I think Dom holds on to both belts, man. This is the Dom show. I'm going to make a video on this soon. I was going to make it before we start recording how it's now is the time. Now is the time to strap the rock on him because he presents a style of wrestling that's been missing since Eddie Guerrero, where it is like the rogue, the thief, the gambler. That's the kind of stuff that the wrestling is missing these days. Like MJF had a taste of it, but MJF like kind of took a side quest with Adam Cole, never really recovered after Adam Cole. Now he's back to trying to discover what heel is MJF. Still a great heel, but Dominic Mysterio has locked in what kind of heel he can be. And that heel could be revered and loved like an Eddie Guerrero. And Dominic Mysterio going to keep going, hold on to the IC title. I don't see anyone taking that title off of him unless Finn Balor screws him over.
All right. I'll put both of El Grande Americano and Dominic Mysterio into one because they work together. I think El Grande takes the Mega Campeonato from Dominic Mysterio.
Que lastima.
I think this whole Los Americanos working with Dominic is a honeypot. It's a honeypot that the Judgment Day, his brothers are trying to warn him about. What are you doing hanging out with those guys? What do you think he wants in return? I think the in return is going to be El Grande Americano somehow sneaking his way into a match with Dominic Mysterio for the Mega Campeonato. And because he's been pushing away his brothers of the Judgment Day, they're not going to come out and help him. But Bravo and Rayo are going to be there to be the reason why Dominic loses the Mega Campeonato. Here's the thing. I could see that being a 2026 thing. I could see that being a Triple Mania thing. But I could also see it happening here soon with the story that Dom and Finn Balor are going through. And they could be that cautionary tale of like Finn, like, see, you need to listen to Finn Balor. I tried to warn you that El Grande Americano guy was no good. And I think that no good will come in the form of El Grande screwing Dominic out of the title.
Now, this is not going to be for this prediction video because I think Rey doesn't do anything for the rest of the year. But I do think that Rey Mysterio retires with Dominic Mysterio, like that's gonna be his retirement match.
Yeah,
but I think it'd be so much better is if it's for the Mega Championship on WWE.
Don't disagree. I think that'd be a great swan song for Rey Mysterio.
And if he ends up beating his own son and winning, that'd be cool.
Booyaka. Finn Balor.
I was Freddy.
Listen to the last podcast. You learned something new. All right, what are you thinking here with Finn Balor?
Oh my God. It sucks that we got that nostalgia NXT thing. I know you talked to Chris VanVleet about how nostalgia could be a poison mm-hmm. and things of that sort, in the lack of a better word, but it could be poisonous and cloud your judgment because, in the pun intended, I want Finn Balor to be face. I think he is absolutely at his best when he's doing the hands thing. Like, it's there. But I do think he's going to be responsible for Dominic Mysterio losing his IC title at some point.
IC title, okay.
And he will lose his tag team title. And I think he's going to be in a state where he's just going to be... Let's just say by the end of December, we're going to be thinking he's going to go to AEW.
Oh, just wow.
Just the way he's been, he's going to be booked.
Yeah, okay. All right, okay. I'll keep mine simple because I really like what you said. I don't think I can really build more on that. I'll just say he loses the tag titles to the Bronze this year.
Yeah.
Grayson Waller.
Big G.
Big G. I don't know. Because he's so tied to the New Day. Can we do the New Day in general as opposed to just Grayson Waller? I feel like that'll be easier.
Day, you need to thank God.
Oh, that was guttural. I felt that right in the loins.
Yes, we could do that. New Day. Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
I thought you had something with the thank God.
We could do New Day all together. I agree. I'm hoping ultimately they will have a match or set up something that we could say Rey Fénix, Penta versus the New Day. Like, that needs to happen. It needs to happen now. You cannot linger too much. Already you had LA Knight to the New Day Vortex. You're going to have LA Knight, Penta versus New Day. That's going to happen. But at the end of the day, Grayson Waller and the New Day need to put Penta in such a bind that there's no question. The only person that could help him, like it has to be Rey Fénix, and it has to start sooner than later. If they could have New Day versus the Lucha Brothers at Saturday night's main event on December 13th,
huge. That's a legendary match. I love that prediction. I'll go in a different direction because I really love yours because we have all of October, all of November, all of December, right? I mm-hmm. think they go the whole year continuing to mourn. I don't think they drop the gimmick. It just keeps going for an unreasonable amount of time. And we get to midnight, December 31st, and they are still mourning. I think they continue the mourning gimmick, mourning Woods, mourning Kofi, mourning G, all throughout 2025.
I think to your prediction, they'd redo Christmas Carol as the New Day mourning, like the whole Charles Dickens, the whole bang, dude. They have a love that. Like it.
Dude, that's a great idea. The ghost of tag team past, the ghost of tag team present and future. Oh, yes. Come on, dude. That is awesome. Dude, and the ghost of tag team past is like the Hardy Boys. The ghost of tag team present is obviously like the current champions. And then tag team. Oh, dude, come on, man. I love it.
Dude, the Hardys, imagine if Jeff Hardy and Matt Hardy visit them.
In the compound? What if they invite the New Day to the compound?
Ooh. Come on.
We've seen your Benjamin.
Put him in the lake of, what was it called?
The lake of reincarnation.
Reincarnation.
All right, let's go to a big name here. We got Gunther, the ring general.
Boom, boom, boom. Did you hear that Austin Creed told LA Knight, like, yeah, I was on TNA Impact too? Dude, my prediction for Xavier Woods is he will be a manager at some point in his older years because he's such a good.
He's
outside ring presence.
He's like a Miz. I think he's gonna have a job in WWE as long as he wants a job. You know.
Yeah. Okay. What did you say, Gunther?
Gunther.
Bum, 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 bum.
I think they keep Gunther off until the Royal Rumble. I think that's his big return.
I think you keep Gunther off of TV so no one will question if him and John Cena should have a match.
I agree. Because if you do bring Gunther back, it will be like, okay, like this match has to happen, right? Gunther is such a prototypical Cena heel. I could see him. I do see him potentially being Cena's last match. I do think that it has to be on the table. I'm going to say that doesn't end up being the case. And the reason it doesn't end up being the case, to what you're saying, he doesn't get featured on TV for the rest of the year. I think they save him until his return at the Royal Rumble.
Oh, wait, is Royal Rumble this year is not in Saudi, is it?
It is. This one's Saudi.
Okay. So it would be number 30, Gunther, and Sami Zayn's in the ring.
A little redemption.
Like, the final is like almost Sami's final boss. In order to be the Royal Rumble winner, has to be taking out Gunther.
That's crazy. Imagine.
Okay, 29. You know, 29's there, and Sami Zayn throws out, and then it's boom. Is just Sami waiting? Who's 30? I've never seen that before. I mean, I've seen all the Royal Rumbles. I've never seen the last person wait for number 30 like that, and it's Gunther.
Whoa, and then they have like a 20-minute match in there. Ooh,
yeah.
Ooh, me like. I like it. I like it. Picasso. Ilya Dragunov. As of the making of this video, I want to clarify because it might.
You never know.
You never know. He might have already returned. You know, like maybe there was an episode. He has not returned as of the recording of this video. I will predict that he returns saving somebody from a beatdown from Rusev.
Ah, yeah.
That's my prediction.
I like that. My prediction, just to be different, maybe to piss somebody off, because that's what I do. It's my gimmick.
It is his gimmick.
Someone said I'm like an annoying, one of those annoying characters in anime. Like, oh, leave him alone. Like, that's me. I think Ilya Dragunov becomes a Grande Americano, like a sub agent, like he infiltrates, and then he like reveals himself that he was a secret agent the entire time. So there's a fourth Americano.
Wow.
And his name is Zito or something. I hate this stupid.
So much.
I know, right?
With a burning and passion.
And then he goes, aha, take that Grande, and then it's Grande and Dragunov have a match. Like that's their feud. I know you want to inject him into the IC title in the world heavyweight. I'm sure. Yeah, but do you know who he lost to before he left?
Was it Jay?
That's right. Main event, Jay Uso, okay?
All right, let's talk about the War Raiders, Ivar and Eric.
God, what a beefy looking dude in that profile.
In the photo? Yeah. Okay, so we'll do both of them here together. I got nothing for these guys. Like, legit, I got nothing, bro. Okay, I got one.
Go ahead.
I think they appear on TV less than 6 times between now and the end of the year. I'm putting a number on it, right? So, like, I'm looking at the calendar. That gives us, between the recording of this on the 30th of September, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 opportunities. 13 Monday Night Raws left. I think the War Raiders are featured in less than half of them.
My prediction is they will become bikers and roll out with a motorcycle.
I was thinking like BMX, like bikers.
they'll be like that. I don't know why they don't do that. I think that would add a little bit to them. They could be Viking, sure, War Raiders and all that Viking vibe, but come out on a bicycle.
Let's just call it what it is, what they should be. They should be the wrestling version of Hell's Angels.
Yeah. Or what was it like in TNA with what's
Aces and Eights?
Yes, Aces and Eights, dude. Aces and Eights were cool, dude.
They were cool. But you know, the biker thing is Undertaker's thing now. So I think what we should do is replace the Viking Raiders with the Undertaker and Michelle McCool. That's what we should do. Io Sky. We've already talked about Ivy.
I have a question
Nile.
For you.
Okay,
quick
yes.
Sidebar.
Yes.
How close were you to being a brain rotted? Like, did you have to like minimize your brain rot, like turn it down to like a 1 with Chris Van Vliet?
Yeah.
There's a couple of moments he says something, I'm like, where's the brain rot? Or
it was tough because I did a pretty good job at hiding it. I was drunk. Not like belligerent, but I just came from the Chargers game.
Yeah. You're a little... Yeah.
I had some beers in me, which made the conversation flow nicely, but like it also like, oh man, I gotta say, it's gonna be Bloodline rules. But like, I held off on it.
You're like Cody Rhodes.
It's gonna be Bloodline rules. Wepa bing bong. Oh boy, Io Sky. Well, you got anything here?
Well, she's gonna go through the whole thing with Rhea. My prediction is she won't have a championship match until the end of the year.
All right. My prediction will be
for a singles champion.
That's a really great point, because I was about to say that she goes after the tag titles and has a match with Alexa Bliss and Charlotte Flair before the end of the year, teaming up with Rhea Ripley.
Yeah, I see that.
Mm-hmm.
How can you beat two single stars? You introduce your own two single stars.
Right? It's the formula, man. It's the formula that has worked for, well, worked is a stretch of a word, but it's a formula that WWE has followed with the women's tag team division for a very long time. So, yeah, I can absolutely see that being the case. I feel like we can skip JD McDonagh. You know, same thing with Finn Balor, right?
Well, here, they will start an on-screen relationship with Raquel Rodriguez.
Oh, like romantic.
Yeah, romantic. I mean, they're going to fill the void that they had with Carlito. I don't think they scrapped that storyline forever. They're just taking their time with JD McDonagh. There's times where he's kind of like mentioned Raquel and kind of like giving her a little bit of flowers and things like that. Mm. So it's slowly going to mature, but I think we get JD McDonagh and Raquel forming a relationship.
Justice for Carlito, man. Justice for Carlito. Yeah. That should have been Carlito's spot. But JD McDonagh must pose, you know, as they say.
What did Carlito do again? He tweeted that his contract was up, and then they're like, no, he said, like, I'm done as well. I'm not going to resign. And they just like, all right, you could go
home. See, because everybody for our truth was like, whoa, hey, no, we want truth. And Carlito's like, I'm gone too. And I was like, all right, bye. Jey Uso is a big one here. I think it's pretty clear where the Jey Uso storyline is. I think at some point this year, we get Jey versus Jimmy as a match.
Not again.
No, it's.
Give me a gimmick. You got to add a gimmick to it.
It could be an I Quit match, like how Jey and Roman had their I Quit match. So yeah, screw it. I'm gonna shoot for the moon. Jey and Jimmy in an acknowledge me match before the end of the year. It's gonna be Bloodline Rules.
Jey Uso will stare at the Ulafala way too long in one moment before the year's up. The Ulafala would be like there, and Jay's going to stare at it for a long time.
Well, that in itself is a prediction. The Ulafala returning, we haven't seen it in forever.
Yeah, we saw the Shulafala.
We did see the Shulafala.
Not the Ulafala.
Kairi Sane.
No love for Joe Tessitore? I think Joe Tessitore takes a bump.
All right, cool.
You got to get one in, Joe. You got to take a bump.
He hasn't taken a bump, right?
Nope.
No, he hasn't even gotten like punched or anything. Yeah, I don't think he's taken
time is due, brother. Time is due.
All right.
Old Stone Cold comes out in his little boom stunner. That's the kind I want, you know?
Kairi Sane. You got anything here for Kairi?
She will turn against Asuka.
I don't think it happens this year.
No?
I think it happens eventually, but I don't think it happens this quick.
She goes into her own version of face paint, Kabuki Kairi Sane, like a darker Kairi
Sane. Ooh. Okay, yeah, because I was going to say she fully buys into Asuka. And kind of like how, like, I think they were doing the storyline of Indy Hartwell and Candice LeRae. You know, Indy trying to be the good one and Candice, like, stealing wins.
Short-lived story that was cool, but didn't go anywhere.
Yeah. They didn't go anywhere, but like we could see something similar where like eventually Indy Hartwell bought in. I could see Kairi buying in here.
Yeah, like Darth Vader.
Yeah, she buys. Yeah. That's what Darth Vader didn't sell out. He bought in. For some reason, the website has Kiana James as a member of Monday Night Raw, which is not the case. We already talked about Kofi. LA Knight, this has to be you, but what do you got for LA Knight?
Oh, man. How long can you sit in the chair, you know, is the question.
in the corner of the hotel room?
I think LA Knight turns heel. There's no question in my mind that he has to become the next Justify heel. And they're going to have to execute it to where he becomes an anti-hero. Where it's not necessarily like Drew McIntyre, he complains. Because already LA Knight, he complains, but he says... But that doesn't, like, he quickly dismisses his complaints, right? He says, this happened to me, that happened to me, but that doesn't matter because tonight the megastar, BFT, he quickly goes back into the cadence. I think in order to save LA Knight, to salvage LA Knight in any kind of way, he needs to start thinking about going heel. And I think what ends up happening is I do think if he doesn't go heel, I'm going to cheat and give you another prediction, that he'll be the first kind of guy to stand up against Jey Uso and to call out Jey Uso's BS. That is not a member of the Bloodline, not Jimmy, not Sammy. It'll be LA Knight being like, yeah, brother, you know, we could have been something. We team Yeah Yeet and this and that, and I've wrestled you, and I've seen the look in your eyes. This is not who you are. And he'll be the first kind of victim of Jey Uso's tribal chiefdom.
Hmm. I'll keep mine simpler. You know,
remember?
You got to watch last episode to know what he's talking about. I'll just say this. And you're going to hate this, but I think it's realistic. I think LA Knight misses every premium show for the rest of the year. No Crown Jewel, no War Games, and neither episode of Saturday Night's Main Event.
Not even a special enforcer, not even the special timekeeper, a special commentator that seems to do like last minute. Oh, we need some LA Knight. Let's make him the special guest referee, which I did enjoy Adam Pearce going, you really blew that. He's like, I thought I did a great job.
Yeah, I think from what I'm seeing, like, you know, with bigger stars now coming into the picture, Roman Reigns returning, I don't know where LA Knight fits into this. And we're already kind of seeing WWE basically tell us the same thing by putting him into the New Day feud, which is what they did with Penta when they removed him out of the picture with Seth Rollins in the Vision. So I think LA Knight misses every premium show. The ESPN ones, Peacock ones, whatever it might be. I don't think he gets featured on anything outside of Monday Night Raw for the rest of the year.
I'm going to throw a lifeline.
Hit me.
He teams up with the Lucha Brothers against the New Day. So you got Waller, Kofi, Xavier, Penta, Ray, and LA Knight. It's my lifeline.
And you think that's a War Games match?
No.
So what does that get match. You?
That's a Monday Night Raw main
yeah,
event.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, that sucks. That sucks for LA Knight, man, compared to where he should be. Next, we have Liv Morgan. I'll go with this one. I don't think she returns this year. I think she's a Royal Rumble return.
It's the same thing where there's just too many storylines now and she'll complicate everything that's happening. Like to the point where it would be like, why are we spending time with Stephanie Vaquette? She should be, Liv Morgan should be that person. Or why are we doing this? It's like one of those things like, it reminds me when Rhea left, a lot of people, Liv Morgan stepped up into the picture and started to grow. I think at this moment, you cannot have Liv Morgan back. Because she will stomp out the Bayley thing. She'll stomp out any storyline that's still in the infancy of its right now. And then we would be like, why do we want to see, like, we would want to see AJ Lee versus Liv Morgan immediately, right?
Yeah.
It'd be throwing a wrench in too many things that are developing right now.
I'm with you. So you're agreeing with me here? Save her to Rumble? Okay. We could throw Logan Paul in here. Logan. Ayo. Okay, I'll go with one here.
Sure.
I think there will be a moment in the John Cena retirement tour when everybody comes out to like congratulate him, you know, his big moment. Like you're going to have the Randys, you're going to have the CM Punks of the world coming out.
The LA Knights?
Maybe even LA Knight. Maybe that's how he gets featured on the show.
He was there at Mania.
I think Logan Paul will be there. He ended up being such a big part of John Cena's retirement tour.
Yeah, Chris Van Vliet pointed that out to me. I was like, huh. I was like, you're right, Chris Van Vliet. You are a handsome, smart guy. How can you have everything going for you, Chris Van Vliet? My prediction...
Right. I was going to say, there's nothing about Chris Van Vliet that I wish I didn't have.
I know in your heart, you wish it was Wrestling is Cool, Santi, and Chris underneath right here.
Why can't it be all three of us? Why must you think I don't want you? Why do you think I try to push you away? I'm going to start crying like Io Sky now.
Yeah. Logan Paul gasses up Santi. That's my prediction.
Oh,
I think Logan's going to see your interview with Chris Van Vliet. He's going to see the things you said about him, and he's going to either put you on the IG, tweet you out. He's already featured you in the video when you did. He came out as John Cena. You were like, ah, boo. He's going to give you some premium prime gas, brother. And invite you to sponsor you for prime.
Oh, well,
like legitly.
I love that, man. I'll happily sell out, Logan. It's not selling out if you're buying in. You know what I'm saying? Be humble.
Logan Paul is going to invest in the Santi Zap experience.
Nice. Let's go. Let's pump the world with Logan Paul propaganda.
That is my prediction.
I like it. I'm a big fan of it. Ludwig Kaiser, haven't seen him in a long time.
I'm concerned.
I'm concerned as well. I think he gets future endeavored. Yeah, I think he's lost his spot.
You think Charlotte had a say about it? I mean, after that whole thing,
it's possible. He's gone. I think that WWE does not renew Ludwig Kaiser this year. I think that they're going to put their financial backing towards re-signing El Grande Americano instead.
Wouldn't it be interesting if he does get released? That would further fuel rumors about Grande Americano.
I think those rumors are shot, man, right? Like, we've already seen a photo with them together. Yeah. So, like, I don't know what else there could possibly be.
And Grande Americano is Mexican.
It's true. This guy's a German dude. What are you telling me that this is a German guy pretending to be an American guy that pretends to be a Mexican guy that pretends to be an American guy? That's ludicrous. It's not the singer either.
It's ridiculous.
Lyra Valkyria.
Woo!
Interesting stuff going on with her right now and Bayley. I'm going to go in a different direction here, okay? I think that she has a premium live event NXT match at some point this year. She's been making appearances in NXT. She's been dealing with like Tatum Paxley and Izzy Dame and The Culling. So I could see maybe Lyra and Bayley teaming up against Tatum Paxley and Izzy Dame at an NXT premium live event. That's my prediction.
She comes out in a full bird costume at some point. My prediction. Like a head mask.
Like a duck or an eagle. I can't tell the difference.
Don't bring up bird blindness. It's a real thing.
It affects over two people a year. Yeah. It's not a laughing matter, Sancho. Don't laugh about bird blindness.
I'm not laughing here.
You will get canceled.
Isn't it crazy that Fortnite took out Peacemaker's emote?
Well, and didn't they take it out because, like, we're trying to wait for clarification on what the dance means? We don't know yet. It's so funny.
I did that dance all day when I had that skin.
You're just going around to people going, hey!
Yeah, I was doing that. It was crazy, dude.
Oh, man. That's so funny. No spoilers for Peacemaker. You guys can figure it out what we're talking about. Maxine Dupri. She pins Becky Lynch. Done. She pins Becky Lynch.
This is my daughter's favorite wrestler because really? I showed my daughter the Royal Rumble and Maxine did her taunt that woo. And my daughter's seven. She's like, that's funny. I like this. And she does it every now and then. She's like, yeah. I would love for Maxine to stand out on her own and lose the Otis and the Tozawa. It's time.
Okay.
It is time. Release them into the wild.
Like a Pokemon. Natalia. You got one?
Yes, she becomes the low-key legend. Has to be.
Oh, on the main roster. All right. I'm going to piggyback off that, but not on the main roster thing because she's already the low-key legend in AAA. She is the number one contender for the Reina de las Reinas championship. I think they give her the women's championship in AAA.
To me, if Natalya does not become the low-key legend, the Blackheart or Nightheart out there, it would be her last swan song. And I need that. I need this because I see potential and people make fun of me every time I bring this up and I tweet this out. I was like, dude, the low-key legend is a much needed heel in the WWE main roster. I'm sick of Nia Jax being the only thing that could scare people. Let low-key legend go out there and put Tiffany Stratton in some kind of crazy ankle lock and hurt Tiffany Stratton to put her on ice to make the low-key legend seem scary. That's what I want.
All right.
I know Tiffy's on SmackDown, but that's the quality of villain that we could have here that's not being utilized because Natalya is the veteran of the women's division. She's a relic of the Divas division, bro, as Natalya.
Well, speaking of relic of the Divas division, Nikki Bella. I haven't seen her in a little while. You know what's funny? Up until we had this conversation and made this this podcast, I would have thought Nikki Bella was going to be in War Games because she's been in the storyline with Asuka and Io. She has a relationship with everybody that's kind of in the conversation for Women's War Games. But I really like the idea of Charlotte and Alexa Bliss stepping in and rounding out the team, which does kind of remove Nikki Bella from the equation. Oh. I don't know, man. Now that I think about it, I do think she's going to be on that War Games team.
Here's my prediction. I think she will challenge Charlotte and Alexa for the titles with her sister.
Wow. Okay. Brie mode coming back to WWE before the end of the year. Brie mode.
You have to think about it. What other way to usurp the tag team champions is bring back a tag team like the Bella.
I guess. Sure. I mean, I honestly, I'd be fine with it. I'd be fine with it if they were to do that.
Get a little twin magic, dude.
You can look, but you can't touch. Let's talk about Otis. I just don't think he returns this year. What place do you bring him in? Actually, you know what? He returned at AAA.
Yeah, that was sick.
That was sick.
Yeah. The Battle Royal, dude. He was cooking, dude. He was cooking.
Okay, I've got one for Otis. I think that he has a brawl at some point this year with Bron Breakker and Bronson Reed.
Oh.
A lot of meat in that ring. I think that
would put him over if he stood tall against the Vision.
I don't know that he stands tall, but no, I think he stands up to the Vision at some point this year, because we now have Becky Lynch kind of in the vicinity of what is their faction name again?
The Vision. Oh, no. American Alpha.
No, it's not American Alpha. We've been through this
Alpha
before.
Alpha Academy.
There we go. We already have Vision and Alpha Academy American crossing Alpha paths.
Is Chad Gable and
yes,
Jordan.
And Jason Jordan. So we already have them kind of potentially crossing paths here, the Vision and Alpha Academy. Maybe this is where Otis and Tozawa are in play to go up against the Bronze. Yes.
Tozawa retires and Otis and Chase U remake Alpha Academy.
Wow. Oh, so you're saying Chase U we get graduates from Chase U into Alpha Academy. Wow. That's deep.
Otis becomes the leader of it.
All right, we're in the final stretch here. Give me something for Penta. What are you feeling?
I'm gonna give you something quickly for Pat McAfee.
Okay, give me something for Pat McAfee, sure.
I think he's done. He's gonna be a JR PLE type of guy. I don't think we see him on weekly television anymore. You could tell that he's been burning the light on both ends. Like, he's running out of gas, and there's just no way this man can keep up with the schedule that he's in now. And you could tell that he's done with what he's doing now, the level, because he literally dipped during WrestlePalooza.
I was going to say, if he can't give us full time for one show, in no way he's giving us full time.
Yeah. In Indianapolis, in his backyard, where they gave him an entrance and everything, and he just right up said, I'm out. Pat McAfee, his days as a W commentator are limited. So I don't think he comes back.
I think that's fair. I could see that. Now, college football does end in the new year, and that's usually when Pat McAfee returns, usually like the Rumble or something. I do think that we'll see him return at the Rumble. I think he still returns. Next, we have Penta. Do you have anything for Penta?
He will have a match with Dom for the Mega Champion. Campeon.
Campeonato.
I do believe, though, that Penta and Rey will reunite, like we mentioned. Like, that they're gonna give us that moment before the year's over. That way we could get hype for the big Rumble, big Mania season with Penta and Rey working together.
Yeah, that's, you know what, I'm not going to overcomplicate it. That's mine too. It was going to be Rey and Phoenix, to clarify. We both said just Rey. Rey Phoenix and Penta do reunite. And I think them going up against the New Day, I think it's just such a great idea. New Catch Republic, Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate.
Haven't seen them in a while. Concerned.
I'm concerned. I think they're part of the same release wave as Ludwig Kaiser, if you ask me. It looks like WWE is going younger, more masked.
Yeah.
And it looks like Rio and Bravo have now taken their spot. And I could see Rio and Bravo getting featured pretty heavily. And like, that's just no room for Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate anymore. So I think they might be gone, dog.
I'm hoping that the Americanos could be inspired more by Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate to let the world know that they are very high class wrestlers, to show the prestige of the Americano lineage.
Right.
Because I feel their first debut wasn't that type of vibe. I didn't get that, like, ooh.
I know.
These guys are on the same level as Grande Americano.
They got them nerfed. They're nerfing Ryo and Bravo.
It's
right
like
now.
It's like an AEW or New Japan talent coming over to WWE. Oh, that working that WWE style, man. How dare they?
How dare they? Rey Mysterio. I don't think we see him until 2026. I think they hold him off for the rest of the year.
None of the main roster, none WWE.
I think he comes out at Survivor Series War Games since it's in San Diego, hometown.
He's the host.
Yeah, I could see him having backseat segments, coming in, welcoming people, announcing the attendance. You know they love to do that in stadium shows. This is at Petco Park, so I'll say that is given to Rey Mysterio, 619 native.
By the way, beautiful stadium. I love
Petco. Petco's awesome. Yeah, I've been there.
And the structure around it, the Gaslamp District, and all that stuff is going to be so cool for that town during Survivor Series. Oh, man.
Yeah, I wish I was there.
Well, I'm going to be at home.
Rhea Bloody Ripley. I'll go with
what I wanted to have gold. I want gold.
You were talking about gold. Man. Singles gold. I don't think that happens this year. I don't see it. I don't see WWE putting her up against Stephanie Vaquer until at some point in 2026. I think if you are going to get gold from Rhea, it's going to be tag gold. I think that she gets a tag championship opportunity against Alexa Bliss and Charlotte Flair, which is the same prediction that I made for Io. So I'll make the same one here for Rhea.
Rhea Ripley will have one segment, one moment with Dominic Mysterio. And then Dom's going to like act like he doesn't even know her, dude.
Dude, I'm realizing like Raquel Rodriguez is on here.
Oh, yeah, she is. Well, we could put her with Roxy.
Yeah, with Roxy, but I'm just like curious why she's not there.
They had Kiana James on the wrong side, but yeah.
Yeah, okay, Roxanne Perez. Let's just do, the two Rikiza together. You got anything?
Yes, I predict that they will get in the program with Stephanie Vaquer at some point. I think it's just the most logical thing to do to reward them for the amount of work they've been doing. I think Raquel is the most improved superstar, and Roxy is a great person to be that, hey, Stephanie versus Roxy, Raquel interferes, that kind of, that's the perfect type of triangle that they could have multiple matches with, that eventually Stephanie Vaquer will triumph over them as a duo. And I think it'd be a strong kind of way that they build both all three of them up together using the prestige of the title.
I like that. I can mess with that. I like the idea of Stephanie having feuds with proper heels, not just immediately Rhea Ripley, right?
Yeah.
And beating the likes of Roxanne Perez, for example, could be a catalyst for a future feud with Liv Morgan, right? Hey, yes. you beat little sister, time to face big sister, right?
Yes.
But I'm far more excited about the notion of Stephanie versus Raquel, honestly, if I'm being honest with you. I'm more excited about that. I've seen Roxanne versus Stephanie. We saw it in NXT. It was good. I'd rather see something new.
Dude, my other prediction is Raquel adds the jackknife powerbomb as a signature move.
That'd be cool.
In honor of Kevin Nash.
It's too similar to her finisher, though. They're both powerbombs.
Well, the Hana Bomb is a nice move, right? But it's like it reminds me of Rhea Ripley doing the Razor's Edge. Like it's a little bit of that, you know what I mean?
I'll say that.
Okay, look at Damien doing Razor's Edge and then having his South of Heaven, right? I think it'd be cool.
I think she if cool. I look, I like the idea, but I think it'd be replacing the Tejana Bomb.
The Tejana Bomb is so cool, though. I love
the Tejana Bomb. It's a great
Tejana Bomb. The Tejana Bomb is impeccable. But I just think she adds the Jackknife Powerbomb to her moveset. All right. And you know the difference of the Jackknife Powerbomb, right? It's like the release point is so much different.
Yeah.
Because it's like you're getting tossed from the top.
Yeah, you're getting an extra foot of air.
Yeah.
Rusev. I think Rusev is our Intercontinental Champion this year. I know. Oh, my God. I hate Dominic Mysterio. No, I don't. I think he wins it this year. I think he wins it this year because I think WWE would be smart to do Rusev versus Ilya for the IC title. I think when Ilya returns going after the IC title, I think it's a great idea, great move. And we know this isn't done, right? Rusev and Dominic, the way that ended, Rusev is going to get another crack at Dominic Mysterio, and I think he's going to get his back. I think Rusev wins before the end of the year. New IC champion.
All right, this is going to be like a short-sighted prediction. Like, it could happen by the time it's already recorded. But my prediction is Rusev destroys the Judgment Day clubhouse and destroys the video games.
Oh no, not the games. No, he overwrites their save file.
The Redeemer. Yeah, but I think Rusev just destroys the Judgment Day, and he becomes a problem that even like Finn Balor and JD has to start addressing. Because now it's like, Dom, you said you take care of Rusev, and you clearly didn't. And now he's a problem for Judgment Day. And by the time of this recording, that all could be said and done. But I do think Rusev starts reigning terror over Judgment Day.
I like it. We're almost done here. Seth freaking Rollins. I think he's our next Crown Jewel champion. That's my prediction. I think he wins at Crown Jewel. I think he flaunts around that ring. I think he uses it as his justification that he is the leader. He uses it as his justification that he really does know everything that's going on, that everything runs through him. I say Seth wins.
Seth Rollins wins, but at the cost of everything. And then he realizes he's become the thing that he hated. Because Cody's already pulled at that tail for so long. But I think Seth then realizes it. He's going to lose his wife. He's going to lose his pole.
Damn, divorce, huh?
God damn. He's gonna lose all of that. All of that. And he's going to realize, I've become what I hated the most, Roman Reigns.
Oh, I feel like that's not enough time for that to happen.
It could happen. You have major PLE, Crown Jewel.
Sure.
Supposed to be the next big thing, that big old Crown Jewel belt buckle that goes up to the nips.
Sheamus. We're down to our last two here. Sheamus.
The thing about Sheamus is that he can't keep being this guy that just can't win. I think he becomes IC title, but it's not within the year.
Yeah, I don't think it's within this year either. I'll say this. I think at some point before this year ends, we could get Sheamus Aleister Black. And it's just another feud for Sheamus to lose to make another big scary dude look strong.
I got another one for you. Sheamus will have Rusev on his YouTube.
That's channel. Great. I like that. That's a great prediction. Yeah. Stephanie Vaquer, Women's World Champion. I predict that she, between now and the end of the year, she will defend the title one time only.
Oh, damn. That sucks.
I know it sucks. I think she gets one title defense, and it'll be that November 1st, and I predict it against Asuka, and I think that's her only title defense televised on Monday Night Raw or otherwise.
I said in one of my videos that Stephanie Vaquer, after the fallout of Paris, would end up, like, after the fall of WrestlePalooza, I'm sorry, would be put on ice. And people are like, no, she's going to have Crown Jewel. But this is what I mean. She's going to be put on ice. There's not going to be anything of the Roxy and the Raquels that I would hope for. Instead, she's just going to go ahead and hold on to that title until we get into Rumble season, Mania season, until we start going, oh, who's going to Liv Morgan going to face that type of thing? And it's going to be a shame because it's not going to be as bad as Julia, where she appears and does nothing. I don't think she just appears at all. And it's going to at least add the mystique to her. Which is, I think, what's what Triple H believes in, that if you, missing somebody makes the heart fonder type of thing. But I don't know, man. Stephanie Vaquer, she said herself, wrestling is her first language and only language, basically. Let's have that. And I'm hoping they do that to her at least. Like, my prediction then would be that she appears on Triple A, even though there's a lot of stormy clouds over there for her. A lot of baggage over there, but I do think if they wanted to run the Reinas and Reinas versus the Stephanie Vaquer, that'd be sick.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
All right, and the last one would be Zoe Stark. I don't think she's come back anytime soon.
No way. Hopefully she gets back in ring at some point, but I think that I think she's already was working, like producing, developing matches. I know Shayna Baszler was.
She just got hired to do that now. She's really? Yeah, she got hired for NXT to do that.
Nice. Yeah. I do see Zoe Stark. I think Zoe Stark makes her return, not at the Rumble. Fortunately, I think she does make her return at NXT. That's like my prediction for the future.
Hold on. Let me just check. When did Zoe Stark get hit? When did the Zoe
Money Stark? Was it Money in the Bank? No, it was at the Rumble.
Was it the Rumble?
No.
It was with Kairi Sane. I know that. Okay.
It was Kairi Sane. It was like a week's after.
It was the Queen of the Ring triple threat. That's what it was.
Ah, yeah. Yes. And then Rhea Ripley versus Kairi had to happen.
Yeah. Right. May 19th, which is an ominous day in WWE history, right? With May 19th, Kane, see no evil. When I look at other similar injuries, Charlotte and Ilya Dragunov, they all took over a year. So I don't think that we see Zoe Stark until summer 2026.
But I think we see her first at NXT.
Oh, like appearing? Sure.
You soft reboot her at NXT because her time on the main roster, she was always a great person to have in Money in the Bank. Always, like, everyone
always delivered.
When I was watching Royal Rumbles, I was like, dude, she has some zip. She has some pops. She has some, like,
some zippity doo.
Like, she has something going for her. And then when she got saddled with PF's Pure Fusion Collection or Collective, that's when things went south for her.
I fucking forgot about PFC, dog.
So I'm hoping that Zoe Stark will make an appearance at NXT because I think she needs a soft reboot. Because her call up to the roster and all that thing, and the closest thing she got to really, really something special was Trish Stratus, and that just went nowhere.
Yeah, I agree. Well, folks, that is everybody from Monday Night Raw. The next episode, we'll be covering everyone from SmackDown, but that was a lot of fun. Again, thank you for being patient with us over on Patreon and on YouTube. We're trying to do our best here with the situation with me being on vacation. Hopefully nothing super insane has happened that we have missed while I'm in Japan. We won't do $15 patron callouts here because they could be different on the week that I return, right? Or like certain people won't be there and certain people should be there that aren't. So instead of pissing people off, I'm just going to piss off everybody and just say, let's just not do it. Let's piss off everybody equally. But shout out if you are a $15 patron. Thank you very much for your support. Again, if you wanted to get this episode early, you can go over to patreon.com/SatiZab. But thank you so much for listening to this shortened version of the Wrestling is Cool podcast. We'll see you in the next one. Take care. Goodbye. Be good people.
Ring the bell. That does it for this episode of Wrestling is Cool. Shout out to Sazi and Sacho. Make sure you follow, like, and subscribe. My name is Mega Ran. I'm just here for the vibes. And never, ever forget...